Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Jack Heinrich.
It was a good start for the Blackhawks. It was a good effort all the way through, just not enough firepower to get past the LA Kings. The Hawks fall to the Kings 6-2. The score isn't indicative of how well the Hawks played in this one. It was a lot better than that game last Friday in the 5-1 defeat, or 5-0 defeat, excuse me. But just not enough to get past the Kings here. 6-2 is they're able to get the win. This is a team that we've been talking about that's fighting for a playoff spot. So they came ready to play, and they took care of business tonight. And we're going to head right back out to the Crypto.com arena. Joe Brand sticking around a little bit. And Joe, like we said, we wanted to have a good start. The Hawks want to have a good start. They had a good effort. It just wasn't enough. They didn't get enough scoring punch to keep up with the Kings.
Yeah, definitely a good start. Definitely a great response after the Kings picked up the first goal and just doing a lot of the little things right. Great to see them capitalize on a 5-on-3. I get it, it's a 5-on-3, but you still got to take advantage of those situations, and they did. And still put some pretty good pressure on the Kings' power play, or excuse me, on the Kings' penalty kill, because I think when you look at how the Hawks' power play has been improving and what they were matched up against tonight in LA's PK, still a pretty solid showing of special teams. And those are the two keys to the game for Luke Richardson heading into this one. He wanted to see a strong start. He wanted to see good work on the special teams. But this is what happens when you face a team with a more talented roster on paper, kind of a, I don't want to say an older, but definitely more experienced roster. The Blackhawks' youth was exposed tonight. Kevin Korchinski and Jacob Megna unfortunately finished each as -4. And even Troy Murray popped in and was mentioning how them up against the Kopitar line just wasn't a good matchup. And the Kings definitely exposed that. Now that being said, Kevin Korchinski picked up a goal tonight. If you take out that goal, yeah, it's a -5, but it's not always going to be an upward trajectory for all these young guys. Not every game is going to be much better than the last. So Kevin Korchinski can pull some positives from tonight, and he can pull some negatives. And that's going to be the case for this Hawks team for the rest of the year. Definitely some spots next year as well. But that's what happens in a rebuild. So hopefully the pros can start to outweigh the cons moving forward, and starting with the end of this regular season.
Yeah, a lot of growing pains, and it's expected at this point. They're playing a lot of young players, and I do think that goal for Korchinski, it's nice back-to-back games he scored. He now has 5 on the season. He leads all defensemen, so hopefully he can take that positive and learn from the negatives. Wyatt Kaiser, you're impressed with him. Pretty solid on you look at the score sheet, nothing on there. He got almost 18 minutes of ice time, which is good just to see him play and get that experience. And that's what he was doing down in Rockford, and hopefully he can just continue it along this road trip and hopefully the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's funny because we kind of got the sense from Luke before tonight's game that it was going to be a good game by Kaiser if we didn't notice him much, meaning he's doing all the little things right. He's pushing it down into the King's zone when he can. He's not forcing passes or trying to create too many stretch passes to just catch lightning in a bottle and give the Hawks an offensive opportunity. That being said, he did a couple of things, winning some board battles. I mentioned earlier, he just does a great job of making up for his lack of size, if you want to call it that. He's a scrappy defenseman. He's not the biggest guy, but he knows how to attack forwards. He knows how to become a nuisance and just disrupt plays and disrupt passes and just get his stick on the puck. And we saw that a lot in the first period. I think the Kings game kind of elevated as the game progressed, but he just continues to show that he wants to belong here at the NHL, and for the most part, that's really working out in his favor. And again, not too much to pull from on the score sheet, but definitely a good showing by Wyatt Kaiser in his first game back since December 19th.
Yeah, it's good to see, and he's a piece definitely for the future. And I talked a lot yesterday on Blackhawks Live as just these young guys coming up. This is really big games for them and game experience, because I mean there's no better teacher than getting out there and playing right. The game. So even if there's some ugly moments, I still think it's valuable for these young guys just to get out there and learn and see it in person.
No, absolutely. And, you know, that's why these years of the rebuild are very valuable. Even if they continue to be frustrating and filled with losses, it's important for this team to just go out there and get the experience, because it's the only way you're going to improve. And we talked about it before. I mean, Kevin Korchinski maybe isn't here, at least for the entire season, if he's able to go down to Rockford. But that's not the case. So he's got to take his growing pains here in the NHL. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's going to work out in his favor, because the kid's still only 19 and he's working through these issues at such a young age. And once his defensive game kind of catches up to his offensive game, he's going to have more years under his belt than most of the younger players in the NHL with the expectations that the Hawks have in him. So, yeah, that's why these early years of the rebuild are still so valuable, even if, like I said before, it contains a lot of losing.
Yeah, it's just a lot of looking for the future. I know it's been repetitive, but it's just kind of where they're at right now, and you're just hoping to see them grow as well. But one player that we've seen really grow is Filip Kurashev. Two more points tonight, two more assists, and he was a minus one, but that stat can be a little deceiving when you're looking at him, because you and John were very complimentary of his two-way game, and he's just really, just as the season's gone on, it's just been he's him and like Connor Bedard, and it makes sense because they played together, but they've both been on that upward trend, and that's one real positive from the whole season. I think you could take away is those two are looking good paired together, and Kurashev had another solid night tonight.
It's just one of those extreme things where if one thing is working out for you, pretty much the rest of your game is going to adapt as well. His offense has ticked up since joining Connor Bedard, and that has just improved each game. I mentioned before, I feel like his hockey IQ, his instincts have kind of replicated what we've seen from Connor Bedard. Not entirely, but there's definitely some showings of that. And that just kind of allows him to just play naturally and play to his instincts offensively. And then he doesn't have to overthink defensively. He's able to show some of his talent that way, too. I thought he made a great play on the Kings blue line where they were trying to work it out of their zone, and you know, he just darted towards the near boards to break up a very harmless pass coming from the Kings, and it turned into an opportunity for the Hawks. Troy always brings it up how, you know, a couple years ago the Hawks were in a position where, well, should they go and sign Dominic Kubalik or Ole Mata, and they ended up going with Filip Kurashev, even though his numbers weren't off the charts, but they liked the potential they saw in him. They liked his game, even if it wasn't exactly what they were hoping and expecting from in the beginning. And right now that looks to be like the right decision and the right choice. Does it help out that he's been playing a lot with Connor Bedard? Absolutely. But, I mean, what if it didn't? What if it didn't click right that way? Then, you know, you got to credit the guy for taking advantage of his opportunity, and he's really taken off with it this year.
Yeah, it's been great to see, and a big point for the Hawks moving forward, hopefully, is those two being center building blocks as more of the young talent comes through. And then Colin Blackwell going down, and they're on the postgame show on NBC Sports Chicago. It looks like maybe Luke Richardson's giving an update. We'll look on Twitter. But that's just tough to see, because he's a guy that's fought back. And I know, Joe, you've talked about his game, and I mean, he's been so great in the locker room after games and on the ice. He works so hard, and he's been playing some great hockey. I mean, he was in trade rumors because teams were maybe wanting to pick him up from contending teams. He stays here. He wanted to stay here, and then hoping for the best for him, but just not what he wanted to see at the end of this game.
Yeah, that one hurts just a little bit more, just knowing what Colin Blackwell has gone through since last year. We'll keep an eye on Twitter, and I'm sure you will throughout the postgame show, to see if there's an update. Doesn't look like there's one just yet. But you're right. I mean, it's his hard-nosed effort that fans are able to easily fall in love with him. Even David Quinn, head coach of the San Jose Sharks, who used to be his head coach with the New York Rangers. Actually, I want to credit Bruce Miles, who writes for NHL.com. I couldn't catch the press conference with David Quinn when the Sharks were in town, and I wanted him to ask about Colin Blackwell and what he's enjoyed about his game. And he basically said, you know, he's a guy that does a lot of different things right, and it's good to see him finally get rewarded with the year he's having with the Hawks right now. And especially this game. We kept talking about it, how sometimes the best thing you can do against a good team like the Kings is not give them much to play with, not give them much to work with. And I feel like Colin Blackwell did that to a T tonight, because every time he was bringing the puck over to the Kings zone, he found the right way to get rid of the puck, whether it was a pass to create a chance or an opportunity for the Hawks offensively, or if it was a cross-ice pass that he just kind of floated into the air to kill off some time. He always made the right decision when dumping the puck in, and I think that shows his hockey IQ, his awareness of the situation, and just how good he is at executing on those types of plays.
Yeah, so hoping for the best. We're getting some sound here. We'll try to turn that around, see what Luke Richardson said. Probably last thing for me is Lucas Reichel. You're still thinking positive step forward. It was kind of hard with this Kings defense kind of shutting down. He was a minus two, 14 minutes tonight, around the same ice time, one shot on goal, but still trending in the right way.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I feel like, if anything, it was a lot like the San Jose game, maybe a little bit less, but both games have still been much better than what we saw his first go around this season. And I know it's a small sample size, but when you look at the order of what happened with Lucas Reichel, I mean, he went down to Rockford kind of as the last chance for this Hawks front office and coaching staff to try to figure out how to turn his season around. So he's still an improvement, and he's still kind of understood the assignment of what he needs to do differently and what he needs to do more of. I'd like to think that because we've seen that from his first two games, that will continue to grow and will continue to kind of snowball in a positive way. I'll also point out, I mean, the Hawks are facing the Ducks and the Sharks for the next two games. Hawks are not in a position to look at other teams and say, okay, that's a game we can win. I mean, they need to bring a full 60-minute effort every single game. But maybe it's an opportunity for them to keep playing the solid type of hockey, keep the offensive chances rolling, and then maybe the floodgates will open for Lucas Reichel, because still steps forward. I don't think today was much of a step forward from his last game, but both games since returning from Rockford are in the right direction since the last time he was here at the NHL level.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the big things that we're all watching as the season gone on, and something that like I noticed when he talked to the media after the game on Sunday, he looked a lot more confident just in the way he was carrying himself, which was something different. I mean, when he was right before he went down, you could tell he'd lost his confidence and was trying to figure it out, but it seems like that little 9-game stint down in Rockford is hopefully helped him for the best, and he's still got about, I think, 13 games left to try to figure that out, and hopefully they can figure something out, because this is a player that could be everyone had a high expectation for coming in the season. If he can end on a high note, hopefully that's some momentum he could bring into next year.
Yeah, I feel like that confidence was showing even in the first practice that he returned before his first game, and that's why they did it. That's why they put him down to Rockford to score some points and play with a few of his old teammates. And you know, it also helps that Rockford was just playing better. I think they were 7-2-0 in those games that Reichel was down there. So I mean, that's a whole nother aspect. It's like a whole new world when he's playing right. That type of hockey with that type of team, compared to the constant uphill battles that the Hawks are dealing with on an almost a game-to-game basis this year. So you know, it seemed like at the moment the Hawks did right by Reichel by sending him down there and having to work on some things, and so far it's worked out. But hopefully it just continues, and that does continue to be somewhat of an upward trajectory towards the end of the year. I don't mean to get too hypocritical with everything that I've said, but I think that opportunity is there for Lucas Reichel.
Yeah, and he had the right attitude about it too, which I think makes a difference as well. If he wasn't in the right mindset going down there and mad that he wasn't able to stay up, but so hopefully that helps for him going in the future. But all right, Joe, thanks for hopping on with me for a little longer here, and great job with John. It was a lot of fun, and get back safe, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Hey, likewise, kid. Great job by you as well. You looking forward to staying up all night and not cutting highlights, just chopping it up with Devin from Payless Hills or something?
Oh yeah, something different, you know. So got a lot of thoughts, and I'll just try to keep them in order here as we keep it going.
All right, man. Great stuff. I'll see you in a couple of nights. I'll see you Thursday.
Yeah, see you Thursday. Get home safe. Thanks, Joe.
All right, likewise. Take care.
All right, that's Joe Brand from the Crypto.com Arena, doing a great job filling in for Troy Murray the last two games on the color
commentary. Really great job. And Joe should give himself a little bit more credit, saying just for a guy who's not a hockey analyst, some really good thoughts and pointing out some good stuff. And him and John had some really great chemistry. So it was a pleasure to listen to here as we continuing on here on this Blackhawks postgame show. And some positives coming out from this game. It was a good start. That's something that Joe and I were talking about in the pregame shows. We wanted this to be a better start for this Hawks team. And they did that in that first period. They were tied at one, evened up on shots. They were making it tough on the Kings to try to score in that first period. The top line of Kurashev, Johnson, and Bedard were getting some opportunities. Just couldn't get some shots on net, but the Kings did get that first goal. And the Hawks got a penalty, and then they got a 5-on-3, and this is a Kings team that has very good, the best penalty kill in the NHL, but you get on a 5-at-3 advantage. The Hawks did a really great job just getting pucks to the net, and that's the one thing that we were hoping to see from this Hawks team as the season has gone on, is we thought this was going to be a really good power play. Injuries and other circumstances happened. Now this team is healthy, and you have Bedard and Kurashev clicking. And Bedard and Kurashev have played with Nick Foligno on the top line. They've played with Tyler Johnson now the last few games on the top line. So all these guys are getting a lot of time together, and then Seth Jones as well in that power play. So they've been doing a good job getting offensive production. You would like to see a little more on the 5-on-5. But they were able to go into that second period. They were tied up at one. And you're feeling pretty good. And then that's just when the Kings took over. And this is something that we were talking about throughout this whole game, is this is a big game for the Kings. And you heard Joe and John Weideman talking about it. They're right in the thick of a playoff race. They're third in the Pacific Division. They're tied with Vegas for that third spot. Vegas has the last wild card spot. So those two are going to be fighting for position as this season is going on. And Vegas was in action tonight as well, and they were tied up later. I'll try to get the score up here in a second. But you're looking – this is a team that needed wins, and they were like we mentioned on that, they had a central road trip. They started in St. Louis. They lost. They came to Chicago and won, and then the next night they flew down to Dallas, and they lost to the Stars. So they were in need of a win, and they – like a good team that's going to be in the playoffs and fighting for the playoffs and in that race. They came in and took control of that game as that game went on in that second period, scoring three goals. Hawks couldn't get a punch back. And for me, looking at these first two periods, this was more of a – looked like more of the team that we saw last year, and just a really hardworking team, hard team to face, and – they make it hard on the opponent. That's what they were known for last year. Just Luke Richardson wanted to make it the reputation of the Hawks is like, even if they're at the bottom of the standings during this rebuild, it's going to be hard to go in and beat the Blackhawks because of how hard they play. And they've been a little up and down this year. There's been a lot of shuffling around and injuries, but it looked like they were doing that at the beginning of this game. And then couple bad turnovers, a couple mistakes, and like a good team did, the Kings kind of took control of this game, went up 4-1. They get another one in the third, and then Kevin Korchinski's able to score. But Colin Blackwell going down in that third period, and looking here at Twitter, Charlie Romeliotis from NBC Sports Chicago tweeting that Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson did not have an update on Colin Blackwell, who exited Thursday's game with an apparent injury. So waiting to see, maybe hear more tomorrow or Thursday, depending on what the Hawks are doing with practice. But all the best, hoping and wishing all the best, praying for all the best for Colin Blackwell. Like me and Joe were talking about this, he's just been such a good team guy in the locker room and on the ice, off the ice. He's playing really good hockey. He was in trade rumors. Contenders wanted him on the team. But the Hawks were able to keep him, decided to keep him, and he wanted to be here. And it's hoping for the best. Hopefully it's not a long-term injury. But we do have sound from Luke Richardson, Philip Kurashev, and Seth Jones. We'll get to that and a lot more. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Here's Jones back to Kurashev. Bottom of the left circle, put it in front. They score! Power play goal! And I believe Nick Foligno is going to get credit for this. The puck ricocheted off of him in front of the net. and ended up in the back of the net behind Talbot. It's a power play goal. Bada boom, bada bing. The Hawks have tied it at one.
Hawks were feeling good early. Nick Foligno getting him on the board on the 5-on-3. Just was in front of the net, and it looked like Philip Kurashev was just trying to pass it through the crease, and it hits off Nick Foligno, and he's able to, I mean, it really just kind of deflected off him and went in, and that's just what happens when you try to get pucks to the net. But Jack Reiner here filling in for Joe Brand on Blackhawks postgame show here on WGN Radio. And now it's time for tonight's player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. We're going to give it to Philip Kurashev. Me and Joe were talking a lot about him, and he's really stepped it up both ways. He had two assists tonight. He was a minus one, but the way he plays both ends of the ice, it's hard to tell with that plus-minus number. It's a little inaccurate for how well that he's played and what he's done on the ice. But he also met with the media after the game, so let's hear what Philip Kurashev had to say after this one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, tough. They're a really good team, and, you know, they use our mistakes to their advantage, and they put the goals in, so it was tough one.
It felt like you guys, your line was creating a bunch of finding, I guess, that finish tonight.
Yeah, I think we were pretty good on the forecheck. We were getting a lot of you know, little puck battles and stuff, but I think at the end the execution wasn't there. Yeah, at the end of the day, that's, you have to do that. You know, just creating chance not going to win you the game. So we got to do more of that. And yeah.
I know you guys have emphasized those down low plays in the 5-on-3, and it seems like that was effective again.
Yeah, that was our plan, and it worked out, so I'm glad about that.
Is it, I guess, when you guys play that well in the first period and just, I guess, to still be down, is that sometimes just demoralizing to give that first one up? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's, of course, it's hard when you play, you know, from behind, like, especially against a team with so structured, and they, you know, they don't play too difficult. They play simple game, and they're big guys and strong players, and you know, every little mistakes they make it count. So yeah, it's hard even when you play well and you're down, but you got to find a way. It's you know, game's not over until the last minute, so yeah, we got to find a way to be better than that.
I like what Phil Kirsch had to say there at the end. He said this is a very talented team they went up against, and but you got to find a way, and you got to keep trying to play your best. And the Hawks, not for a lack of effort, I think it was just they didn't have that scoring punch and that firepower to match up with the Kings. And this is a Kings team playing desperate for a playoff spot. And Kurashev had 2 points, 2 assists on the 2 goals in this one tonight, getting our player with the most heart. We mentioned earlier that Luke Richardson from Twitter, from Charlie Romeliotis, that he didn't have an update on Colin Blackwell. So we'll hear what he had to say about more about Blackwell and more about this game right here.
Seemed like you guys got...
Yeah, I thought the 5-on-3, it was kind of one of our plays, a quick low play early, and they capitalized on that with some fortunate luck with a puck over the glass. But and you know what? I thought we had a good first period. And the second period, it wasn't that bad. We had some good ozone time, but I didn't think we had enough traffic and pucks to the net. We were really kind of perimeter, and I think they, you know, I mean, that's you know, I mean, a little bit to their you know, credit. They're a big team, and they kept us to the outside, and you know, just a couple self-inflicting you know, plays by us. I thought we turned the puck over twice. It's in our net. We didn't block one of them, and then on a wrist shot that was a screen, and then, you know, I think we stay out too long sometimes, and we take a penalty, and then it's in the net. So, you know, just if we take those three things away in the second period, it's still 1-1. But, you know, I mean, they're a good team that force you to kind of make mistakes. And, you know, I mean, that's 2 games in a row that they showed us why they're where they are. And we got to make sure we continue to get better.
Do you know how Blackwell is?
I haven't been updated on Blackie yet, but, you know, I saw him skate off, which was great. I'm hoping it's nothing serious, but and he's a tough dude, so he'll, I'm sure, be as back if he can.
the Korchinski-Megna pairing was out there for four goals again. Kind of different situations each time, but how would you assess kind of what went wrong?
Yeah, I think, you know, Korch unfortunately gave the puck away once. I think Kempe had a really good play. He kind of was coming at him and then pulled off, and he turned it over right to him, unfortunately, and he made a great play to Kopitar on that goal. That was a hard goal. But, you know, if you look back, there's plays before that we turn the puck over to Boulin. So puts those D under the gun. You know, I think Korch definitely has got to get bigger and stronger at the net boxing out. And I think that's, you know, that was seen on a couple of goals. But again, like if you roll the film back, there's always something before. You know, we got to make sure, especially on the road against a big team like this, if we can keep our defense out of those situations, out of those problems as much as we can. It'll benefit us, especially on the road, you know, because we don't have last change on who's out there.
When you play good teams like the Kings playoff teams, what do you hope your young up-and-coming team hopes to glean against good
ball? Yeah, I think we had a good start. We obviously couldn't keep pace with them. I think they're a big team. They're fast. I think that, you know, we got to build our team up. You know, our play, but also our bodies and our physicality to play with a team like this. And I mean, that's two games in a row, and it wasn't a freak of nature the first time. They're a good team, and they're big, and they're fast, and they're built well, and they're built to win in the playoffs. So that's a great test for us. So now we have some work to do in a couple weeks because we have one more shot at them to show them a better showing of ourselves.
Do you think Korchinski's strength is? I mean, is that something that's going to have this offseason?
I think I've noticed a big change in him in a year, and that's great. And he's going to have another big change in a year. But that's every young player, but defenseman especially when you're logging. I think part of it is a mindset and a personality on the ice. Kevin's the greatest kid in the world. He's a real nice kid. He's got to get a little bit of an edge that he's not letting anybody into that crease. They got to go all the way around him the long way, and that allows him to get on the right side to get under sticks so there's no tip goals and rebound goals. So, you know, I mean, that's all of us, so really out there in the back end. But Kevin, as a young up-and-coming guy that could shoot a puck like he did tonight and last game, we got to make sure that he has more opportunities to do that in the offensive zone and not chasing guys around the D zone.
Were there some things you liked about your team
today? You know, I thought the power play, again, I thought they executed a play early on the 5-on-3, and, you know, we haven't had a lot of 5-on-3 opportunities this year, so I thought that was really good to jump on a nice low play early. And you know what? I think the start of the game. You know, the last few games we've gotten behind, and tonight we got the lead, and I thought we were skating well in the first period. So I think it was good to get out of the gate here. We had an off day yesterday on the ice, and we flew all the way out here. I thought that showed some good character, and it was good on the veteran guys to make sure we're ready to start the game.
What do you see from Kaiser?
Good. I thought, you know, early I think he could have moved his feet a little more, but, you know, that's just normal, him coming up and playing. But I thought he shot the puck well. He had a couple good chances. He was moving his feet and moving his puck simple later on, and that's what he's got to do, and use his feet. That's his best asset, and just like Kevin. And if they can do that to get out of trouble, just keep it simple and shoot the puck in the O-zone like Kevin did, and Kaiser had one real nice one in the third, that's what's going to make them really good NHL defensemen.
Luke Richardson talking after the 6-2 loss to the Kings. A few things to talk about there. Kevin Korchinski and Jacob Megna being a -4. Luke being honest, saying that there were some mistakes they made. I mean, Korchinski made that one in the corner that resulted in a goal. But then he also said sometimes the forwards didn't help either, putting them on their heels. But obviously got to be better. And Korchinski's only 19. He's still got a lot of room to grow, both on the ice and just physically, growing into his body and putting on more weight. And he can do that in the off season with these NHL trainers and workout plans and all that. So a lot of learning experience. That seems to be the theme today, is a lot of learning experience you could take from it. Luke Richardson saying that they need to build the team up both physically and with more talent around some of these young players and moving forward so they can compete with a big, heavy team like the Los Angeles Kings. So a lot of interesting stuff there from Luke Richardson, and just another tough one for the Hawks, a better effort this time around against the Kings, even if the score doesn't show it. But when you come back, we'll hear from what Seth Jones had to say in the save of the game as well. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show with Jack Heinrich filling in for Joe Brand on 720 WGN.
Vetrano, fans are standing here. You'll hear a big roar for their team. The Blues, a shot, and the Ducks score, and it's Troy Terry again to the right of the goaltender with 7.5 left in the hockey game to make it 4-2.
Steve Carroll from the Ducks stream. That's tonight's next game preview sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks going on the road to Anaheim as they continue their three-game West Coast road trip, and they'll take on the Ducks on Thursday. 8:30 pregame show with Joe Brand. He'll be back in the studio. And then John Weideman and Troy Murray reunite as well, and then the Hawks will go to San Jose on Saturday. Let's take a look around the league here, get to as many out-of-towns as we can, and we will start in Columbus.
Sider over the Columbus line, drops it back. Here's Kane getting the feed. Left circle, moves in, tries to go upstairs, he scores! The net came loose. Patrick Kane wins it for Detroit. The final score in Hockey Town in overtime. Red Wings 4, Columbus 3.
Ken Cal from 97.1 FM, the ticket. That game actually in Detroit. The Red Wings rallying from an early 2-0 deficit against the Blue Jackets, and Patrick Kane gets his 15th goal of the season, a game-winning goal for the Red Wings to get the win over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let's head over to New York.
Winnipeg will poke the puck away. It's a breakaway for Scheifele from the blue line in. Scheifele moves in, shoots, score! What a play for Mark Scheifele on the defensive end. Scheifele's second of the night, and it's 3-1 Winnipeg.
Winnipeg went on to win that game 4-2, and Mark Scheifele getting a hat trick. He and a couple other players getting hat tricks tonight. Hat trick night in the NHL. Going around there, but the Jets get the win on the road against the Rangers 4-2, and we'll head over to Toronto.
Here's Tippett with a shot, and he half-fanned on that. Back in front, they score! Scott Laughton pots it home. Seconds after coming out of the penalty box, Scott Laughton, the even strike goal, is his 11th of the year, and the Flyers take the 4-2 lead.
Tim Saunders from the Flyers Broadcast Network, and that's a big win for the Flyers, getting a 4-3 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I've been talking about it all night that Sean Couturier, the captain of the Flyers, was a healthy scratch tonight. And John Tortorella was saying that he and others had to play a lot better. And it looks like message received. The Flyers get a 4-3 win. We'll see how long the Flyers and Tortorella will keep their captain out. But big win for the Flyers, 4-3 at home against the Maple Leafs. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitgo. When you start with Sitgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, and Northwestern Medicine. A lot of people to thank. Glenn and me have the opportunity to fill in for Joe Brand. Brett Jackson, the captain, keeping me on the tracks. But we got help from Krista Flores, our production team made up of Michael D. Leonardis and Colin McCarthy. Joe Brand and John Weideman at the Crypto.com Arena doing a great job over there as well. John, as always, and Joe, as always, and filling in for Troy Murray. He did a great job. Coming up next is Riley James, but first we'll get to the news with James Sears. Again, the Hawks follow the Kings 6-2. We'll talk to you Thursday. Joe's back on the postgame show. This has been Jack Heiner filling in for Joe Brand. For